March. Church was closed down. Negative 11 degrees outside, so pastor thought it was best that we close the church down. So we'll have church at home. Hopefully the Lord will get in this. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. 23. And I believe God can move in the house just as well as he can move in the church. He knows that we're trying to have church here. And so we're going to go to Deuteronomy 23, and we're going to start in verse 7. It says, "Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in the land." Who was a stranger in his land? We see that the Lord is talking to Israel, and he's telling them that the things that they can and cannot do. I'm going to show you a spiritual truth from the Word of God. I'm going to show you a teaching that God gave Israel, which also applies to us in the New Testament. We're going to look at an Edomite as a being a picture of a Christian brother or sister, as it says in Deuteronomy. We see that the Lord is telling them not to abhor their brother. Turn, if you will, with me to 1 John 3:15. Abhor means to shun away or turn your back on or want nothing to do with. And back in Deuteronomy 23, he tells them, don't abhor Edomite, he's your brother. And in the New Testament, we have brothers and sisters that are in Jesus, those who are saved, those who are a saved person. And so we're going to go here and we're going to see where that also applies in the New Testament. You see, a lot of the Old Testament carries over to the New Testament, and people today can't get that in their head. We're not saved by the law. We're saved by grace. We're saved by Jesus' faith. But there's still things that pertain to us, that pertain to those who are in the Old Testament law, that still carries over. Now, it's not by works we're saved. Jesus came and fulfilled the law. But it says we also should. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So in 1 John 3:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man had love for the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's not the verse I wanted to read, but it's there. That was 2:15. 3:15 is, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Obviously, 1 John 2:15, if you're of the world, you're not going to love a brother, you're not going to love a Christian. It's very rare that people love each other. They don't love their real brother and sister. They don't love their mother or their father. So that kind of goes with the message in 1 John 2:15. It says, if you love the world, neither of the things that are in the world, don't love those things. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's proof of somebody who's saved or not saved. Proof of salvation is, number one, change. And number two, the things of the world. The things of the world, if you love them, the love of the Father is not in you. It cannot be. It's a conflict. It says that in the Bible that if you love the world, you're an enemy. You're butting heads with God. So you can't have both. You're either going to love God or you're going to love the world. And here, if you're of the world, you don't have the love of the Father in you. Then in 1 John 3:15, it says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And if you're a liar, you're doing the will of your father, and you're doing your father's business, which is found in John 8:44. Says, you are of the father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. If you're a Christian and you hate your brother and your sister, you're a liar. You're a murderer, and it calls you that. And then guess what? Guess who your father is? Your father's the devil. That's found in John 8:44. Your father is not God the Father. Because if you love the world, If you hate your Christian brother and sister, you're a liar and a murderer, and you do not have the love of the Father abiding in you. So therefore, you cannot be a saved person and hate your brother. It's impossible for that to happen. Deuteronomy 23:7 says, "Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother." So we see that in the Old Testament, we're to love our brother. We're to love him. And we're not to shun him away. We're not to push him away. We're not to hate him. We're not to not love them. We're to love them. And here we see in the New Testament, in many verses, that it says that we are to love our brothers and sisters. Why? Because we're a family. We're a body. That's hard to find even in this world today. With you look around, you see all the ladies and the men that are killing their own children, and children killing their parents and so on. And that, I'm just telling you now, how much harder is it for a Christian to love their brother and sister? Well, if you have the love of the Father in you, it's not hard at all. You may not always get along with them. You may not always agree with everything they say. But to love your brother and your sister and the Lord is a very important thing. And people miss that these days in Christianity. They look they look at people's past. They look at what mistakes they might have made. And they go around judging them. And to their face, they're friendly and this and that. And then as soon as they're out of sight or out of earshot, guess what? They're talking behind their back. They're judging them. They're backbiting and everything else, you know. That right there, that creates friction. That doesn't create love. That means talking behind somebody's back. That means saying things that you should. If you got something to say to somebody, you should say it to their face. But to love a brother or brother and sister, Deuteronomy 23 says we should not abhor them. We should not tell them, want nothing to do with them. Not all brothers and sisters are clean. Not all of them smell good. Not all of them do good. I mean, they try. You know, it depends on how the Lord is working in their life, what He's working on. Remember, we've come from those. We've come from that. Those of us who may be a little more mature than other Christians, we can't judge those who are just saved or, you know, what God's working on in their life. But we do that. We do that, and that causes bitterness. Now we're going to go back to 23:7, the second verse, Deuteronomy 23:7, the second part. It says, "Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land." The Egyptian here is being a picture of an unsaved, and then a saved person. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Know you not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Verse 10. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 11. "And such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And that's why we are not to hate the Egyptian. The Egyptian being a picture of the unsaved person. Somebody who's not a Christian. We're not that poor them. Why? Because we were one of them. We can understand where they come from. If we can get the mindset of going out there and saying, "Hey, I've been there. I know what it's like. I understand what you're going through. I understand that God saved you from that stuff." And when God saved you from those very things, because Paul says, "As were some of you." So that means we came out of that stuff. If we came out of that stuff, then why can't we go and help somebody who's still in that stuff? We're not to abhor them. But Christianity today, guess what? Preachers get up there, evangelists get up there, and guess who they're preaching to? Themselves. They're preaching to saved people, maybe unsaved people that are sitting right in the church pews. But they're not going out into the world. Jesus says, go out in the world, be the salt of the world. He tells us to go out there and be that. Guess what? We're not. We're too busy judging people. We're too busy condemning people. We're too busy shunning people away, not wanting to spend the time with them or do anything with them. God forbid, thank God, that we have a pastor at Black Creek Baptist Church and a pastor emeritus who would spend time with somebody. Pastor John Asquith really spent time with me and Amy. He really got into our life. He really spent time with us and loved us and so on. So you know what that does? He didn't shun us. He knew we smelled of alcohol and drinking, smoking and all kinds of the filth of the world. He knew that we were that. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't abhor us. He loved us. And by that, we've seen the love that Jesus Christ had in him. We've seen that he had something different than we've never seen in anybody else. You know, we've been around a lot of Christian people. And I say that in quotations, Christian. Because I've been around a lot of Christian people who do not have the love that Pastor John Asquith had. You could just see the love of Christ in him. And that attracted me to what he had. I wanted what he had. There was something real about that. And I just, I mean, you know, just imagine if he would have abhorred me and you, Ann. Where would we be today? Probably divorced. Kids living with their mom. Visitations on the weekend. A drunkard. Maybe I'd be dead or back in prison. But thank God he didn't do that. We should not do that to others. I know it's hard to deal with people sometimes, but you know what? Jesus Christ looks down at us. You don't think it's hard for him to deal with us?
Yes.
Oh, but yeah, he doesn't abhor us. He doesn't shun us away. He doesn't kick us away from him. He teaches us and loves us and gets and teaches us and wants us to do right thing. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." You see that word there, "were"? That's past tense. Means it was what you were. At one time you were that, but no longer are you that. Ephesians 2:2 says, "Wherein in time past ye walked," ED. That's past tense. You walked. One time you did that. "According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Verse 3, "Among whom we also had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we were his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And that's just saying that at one time you were that. At one time you walked without the faith of Jesus Christ. At one time you were the one out there that people were looking at going, "Oh my goodness. If that person could just get some help. If Jesus Christ could just reach down into that person's heart and grab him and grip him, something would happen." And it says here that, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that of not yourself." The faith, Jesus Christ's faith. Jesus gives us the saving faith. And we were without that faith at one time. And without that faith, it just goes around. If you read back, it tells you that we fulfilled the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and our mind. And we are the children by nature, the children of wrath. This is what we were without the faith of Jesus Christ. This is what we were without Jesus Christ. This is what we were without salvation. Were. Now we're something different. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is one of my favorite verses. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Well, what's new? What's new now is I can love my Christian brothers and sisters. What's new now is I have a different mindset about people. What's new now is I have a different mindset about those who are out there still doing the things that we used to do. You see, I still have things going on in our lives that we shouldn't go there. That shouldn't be going on. And you know what Paul says about it in the Bible? It says, and I'm going to paraphrase this, is how can you judge those out there that are doing those things when you still are doing your own? Do you think you're going to escape judgment yourself? We should not go out there judging others by what they do, because we're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ one day as a saved person and answer for the things we've done. Now we're not going to be going to hell, but we can lose our crowns. We can lose our right to reign and rule with him. There's privileges we can lose when we go to heaven. You know, we got the answer for it. How can you stand there and answer for Dale? Why did you shun that person? Why did you tell that person to stay away? Why did you not love that person? Why did you not share the gospel with that person? Why did you not get in there and help that person with their life? How are you going to answer for that standing in front of Jesus? We're too busy being full of judgment. Too busy being full of judging other people. Too busy about worrying about what they're doing. Too busy about being busybodies about ourselves and what other people are doing. Well, you know what? We should be out there loving these people. You know, the more we deal with people, the more we work with people, the more we put our minds and prayers on other people, the less we worry about ourselves. If I could just get that down. Oh, I think freedom. There would be much more freedom. So we should not be abhorring the Egyptian. We should not be going out there and shunning these people. They need. Wouldn't you want to share the hope of Jesus Christ that He gave you? Wouldn't you want to go out there and tell this person, you see that person, they're in the gutters, man, and I mean, their life is absolutely miserable. Wouldn't you want to tell them, hey, man, your life always doesn't have to be that way? But you can't do that if you're too busy judging. We are saved through Jesus' faith and not by what we do, or else we would be eternally damned. We are not perfect after salvation. The Bible says in Romans 2:3, O thinkest thou, O man, that thou judgest which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after the hardness and impudent heart, treasurest up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of Jesus Christ, of righteousness and judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Oh, just because their sin doesn't have the same name as yours, does it make any less guilty before God? Just because your sin doesn't have the same name as theirs does not mean you're any less guilty before God. Okay, they may be out there fornicating, but yours may be something else. Pride, anger, bitterness, something else that's in your heart. Just because their sin doesn't have the same name as yours, does it make any more less before God? You're still guilty before God, even as a saved person. You will answer. And that's what he's talking about here. You think you're any better? It's only by grace that we're saved. It's only by Jesus Christ's faith that we're saved. That's the only thing that keeps us from being eternally damned to hell. It's Jesus' faith, by his grace, his blood that washed us. That's the only thing. That's the thin line. That's the thin line that separates us from hell. And we came from that place. It's not like we don't know it. It's not like we don't understand it. We came from that place. We were once there in their shoes. But God in his mercy, God in his love toward us, opened our minds and our eyes and our heart to see what we needed to see, and now we're saved. But yet we want to throw stones at these people. Oh, God forbid we continue in that. Just because their sin doesn't have the same name as yours doesn't mean you're any less guilty before God. We will give an account for what we do, for what we say, and how we judge others. Wouldn't you rather warn them and share the same hope you have rather than to judge and push them away? Ezekiel 33:6 says, "But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, the people be not warned. If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at thy mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou doest not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way and he turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." God is talking to Israel here and telling them that he has set a watchman over his people to warn them. This also applies to saved people. The Lord has set us up as watchmen to warn lost people. And when we do warn them, if they choose to die in their sin, their blood is not on our hands. But if we are too busy judging and chasing people away and do not warn them, and they choose to die in their sin, their blood is on our hands. We will give an account for them. God has set us up as a watchman over these people. As a saved person, it is your duty to go out there and warn these people of what's going to happen to them if they do not have the blood of Jesus Christ. If they choose, you see it says choose. If they choose, that means they have a free will. God does not choose to send anybody to hell, because it says in the Bible that he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come with repentance. But you know what? People choose to go to hell. People put themselves in that position. You know what, though? He puts us out there as watchmen, because people aren't listening to the Word of God anymore, but just maybe, they'll hear that warning and want to get interested in the Word of God. Maybe they'll hear your voice. Maybe they'll see what the flag you're trying to wave to them. And maybe, just maybe, they might come out of their iniquity. They might come out of their sin. And just maybe they might get saved. And if you warn the people, If you tell them about Jesus Christ and where they stand before God, and if you tell them and warn them and they still choose to live their way, still choose to live in their iniquity and sin, their blood is not required on your hand. You're not accountable anymore. Your hands are washed with their blood. But if you do not warn these people, if you do not go out there and tell them, their blood is required at your hand. You will give an account for that. You will stand before Jesus Christ one day. He's going to say, why didn't you tell that one? 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 I saved you to do that. Remember, we're called to be salt of the earth. We're called to go out there. We're called to give some flavor to these people. We're called to give them something they don't have. We're called to go out there and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with these people. And guess what we're not doing? We're not warning them. We're not going out there and being the watchman. And their blood is required at our hands. We're too busy judging people. We're too busy running them out of the church. We're too busy not wanting to take the time for them. We're too busy for all that stuff because we have our own life. We have our own this and we have our own that. Oh, if we could just live knowing that one day we're going to stand before Jesus Christ and have to give an account for each and every person that we never warned. If we could get that into our heads and get that into our minds and get that into our hearts and want to become a watchman. We need to become a watchman. We need to warn people. That's why I always tell Luke and Autumn, guys, you're going to live in the world one day, but you don't have to be part of this world. It's going to be your choice. We're going to raise you according to the Word of God. We're going to raise you in a Christian home. You're going to go to church and this and that. But one day you're going to step out of the safety of this house, out of the safety of this church. And it's your choice of how you live, as a Christian or in this world. For this world, it's going to leave you. It's going to leave you in places you never ever dreamed of that you would ever be. You're innocent at 10 and 7. But at 20 and 27, you won't be so innocent anymore. You can either be living a Christian life saved in a good Bible-believing church, raising a family, or you can be in the gutters or a drug rehab or jail or prison, or better yet, even a grave, eternally burning in hell. That's your choice. God doesn't mess with your free will. He doesn't take that from you. He doesn't force anything on you. He doesn't force himself upon anybody. It's all by free will, free love. And you've been warned. That's all I can say is you've been warned. It's your choice now. You know the consequences of your choices. May God just open your hearts and your minds, and that's how we should be with people. Some may say, well, the Old Testament. Well, that's the Old Testament. Turn with me to Acts 20:26. That's the Old Testament. Well, I'm going to show you in the New Testament. Acts 20. This is Paul speaking here. Acts 20:26. Acts 20:26. Are we ready yet?
26.
Yep. Acts 20:26. I'm going to read right down. It says, Acts 20:20, starting in verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. We just read that in Ezekiel. He's pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his blood. You see, back in Ezekiel 33, God set men to be watchmen over Israel. As you can see right here, Paul is telling us that we as Christians are also overseers. We're also watchmen. He's taking that from the book of Ezekiel. He's taking that and saying, listen, the blood of them are going to be required on your hands. It says, wherefore I take you record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men. Why is he pure from that? Why is he not guilty of it? For I have not shunned to declare unto all the counsel of God. He's been out there warning people. He said, I didn't push that away. I did not go out there and do it. I didn't ignore it. He goes, I've been out there telling people about it. So his hands are clean. But it says this, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. And all the flock. You see that? Watch out for yourselves, but where else? The flock. That's our Christian brothers and sisters. That's the people out there, man. It says, take all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Listen, we're to go out there and we're to warn these people. We're to go out there and we're to tell these people about things. We're overseers. We're watchmen. And that's what he has said. That's the Old Testament to the New Testament. People can't get that in their heads. You know, last time I put something on Facebook, thank God I don't have Facebook anymore, but I put something on there about people seeing their sin through the law. All of a sudden, all these people jumped all over me like I was saying that you had to be saved or live by the law to be saved, and that's not what I said at all. What I said was people have no clue because of a Romans roadway, because of some prayer they pray, does not show you why you're a sinner. It shows you no accountability to God. What is it showing them? Any person that you ask, have you ever done bad? Yeah, I've done bad before. Well, pray this prayer with me. I'm sorry, that's not Holy Ghost conviction. That's not what salvation is all about. God has to show you why you're in that, why you are where you are, why you do the things you do. People say, oh, I do it because of my sins. No, that's not why you do it. You do it because of your sin nature. People have no clue that they have a sin nature. People have no clue that their sin nature is the one that makes them sin. Paul says in the New Testament, and I want people to hear that, in the New Testament, not the Old. He says, if it wasn't for the law, I would have not known covetousness. Jesus preaches the law to people, for then what do they do? They get saved by the law? No, listen to me. They have to know the law. They have to understand that they're breaking God's law. If they don't have an understanding that they're breaking God's law, first of all, they're not going to see their sin nature. Second of all, they're not going to see their need for a Savior. They don't understand they're breaking God's law. The Romans road does not show you that you're breaking God's law. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Show me in the Romans road anywhere where it shows you that you're a lawbreaker. That you have a sin nature. Show me where it shows. It does not. And they have these people inoculated. Now when you go knock on the door, they say, oh no, I professed Christ way back when. And you know by their life that they're not saved. The law is our schoolmaster to lead us unto Christ. That's what it says. The law is our schoolmaster to lead us unto Christ. The law is a very important thing to show people where they stand before God, who they are, what they are, why they do the things they do. We are not saved by the law. We're saved by Jesus Christ, saving faith and His grace and the washing of His blood. But we need to have our eyes and our hearts open and uncircumcised. We need to have them circumcised so that we can see that we have a sin nature that leads us to sin and that we stand separated from a holy God. And the only way to fix that is to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And people are not seeing that in the way men are doing things today. People need to be... Go out, knock on the door, and tell people, say, you know what? Here's a little bit about what Jesus Christ done to me. You want what I have? Come to the Black Creek Baptist Church and sit underneath some Holy Ghost preaching. Sit underneath the Bible and just give it a chance. I know a lot of people aren't there don't believe the Bible, and that's fine. We like those type of people. Bring them in and let them hear the Word of God. And let God show them. And let Him prove who He is to them. And then let them sit underneath the Bible. Guess what the Holy Ghost is going to start doing? Convicting them of sin. It's going to start showing them that they're a lawbreaker. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to get saved. You know what people have forgotten these days? People have forgotten. Men have forgotten that God knows what it's going to take for a person to get saved. And it's not always the Romans road. It's just not. The Romans road was designed to lead people to Jesus Christ who knew the law, who knew the Bible, who had that in the background of their life. Today's people don't have that. They need to understand. But all I'm just telling you now, I had people flip out on me on Facebook because they thought I was saying that you have to be saved by the law, and that's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying, as Paul says, without the law, he would have never known that he was a lawbreaker. He would have never have known that he was sinning against God. He would have never have known that at all. And by the knowledge of the law brings death. Do you know what that's saying? The knowledge of the law brings death. That death is talking about you understand for the first time in your life that you're spiritually dead and that you're separated from God. That's what people need. That's what people need to get out of that Holy Ghost conviction to realize, oh my goodness, this is where I stand before God. But they're not given that chance. Because today people are more worried about the numbers of people professing Jesus Christ than really getting saved. That's what it has come down to. And it's a sad, sad state for the church to be in. I've been saved just a little over 3 years, going on 4 years, October. And already I see this. And I thank God for Him opening my eyes to this. Because you know what? That same exact way that people are out there, quote unquote, soul winning today, almost sent me and my wife straight to hell. When the Holy Ghost was convicting us, men of God were just telling us, no, you're okay. Don't let the devil play tricks on you, blah, blah, blah. When it was really God wooing us to Himself. Really trying to show us the depths of what we really needed to see. And you know what the men of God were doing? Pushing that away. You're okay. You're okay. Thank God. God was merciful and long-suffering. Thank God a man of God came along that God used to show us and teach us what the Bible says about salvation. And not what some man shows us. And not what some man tells us. Because it almost sent us straight to hell. Thank God. If more people will get in their Bible and read what the Bible says. And not just pick and choose. Today's Christianity. Even those who are out there in Christian colleges and who really think they know the Bible and this and that, you know what they're doing? They're picking and choosing. You have to take the Bible as a whole. You can't just pick and choose what you want. There's a reason why Hebrews 4:12 says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Reaching into the innermost parts. The innermost part. The Romans road does not reach into the innermost part of a person's soul to be able to show them what they are. But people are so sold out on this whole idea of going out there and soul winning the wrong way. Show me one person who ever used the Romans Road in the Bible. Show me one person who ever used it. Not Jesus, not Paul, not anybody used it. Jesus taught us a way to pray. Pray in this order. But He never said go out and soul win by using the Romans Road. He said, go out and preach unto all nations. By the foolishness of preaching, are people saved. Go out there and tell them about the Word of God. You trying to prove somebody guilty under sin. You trying to show them that they're a sinner is not going to work. But Holy Ghost conviction will. The Bible, the Word of God will. There has to be an understanding. First of all, they have to believe that the Bible is true for them to believe that they're even a sinner. They have to see at least a little bit, one point in the Bible that matches their life. And I'm just telling you now, it's life-changing from that point on. God has to draw them to themselves. Men should not be drawing men unto themselves. I hear men of God and people saying that they've led hundreds and thousands of people to Jesus Christ. Where are they? If that many people are getting saved, that that's such a rate, then why is America still in a mess the way it is? Why are the sodomites taking over? Why are there murders and deaths at the rate they are? Why is abortion still going on? Why are bars and stores that sell liquors and everything else, why are they still so prevalent if all these hundreds of thousands of people are getting saved on a yearly basis? Where is it? Why are the church doors closing instead of filling? Why are there empty pews in our churches today if so many people are getting saved all the time? Where are they? That's what I'd like to know. Where are they? Where are the ones that these people led to the Lord? Are you discipling them? Are you teaching them? Are you showing them? Are you making sure they're in churches on Sundays and Wednesdays? If they're not there, are you making a phone call seeing if they're okay? Oh, mighty Christian, that you aren't. I say aren't. We're overseers. We're watchmen to go out there and warn people. But God forbid if we get in this trap of leading people into a prayer and nothing ever happens in their life because they were never brought under Holy Ghost conviction. God forbid. I'm getting ready to close. We see that Paul in the New Testament fulfilled Ezekiel 33 of the Old Testament. God today is the same God of the Old Testament. Not only did He set the Jews to be a watchman, but set born-again believers as watchmen, as we see here, Paul states in Acts 20. We need to go out there and warn these people. I want to read one more thing here. It says that I can't really find right off the bat. I'm going to paraphrase it. I hate paraphrasing, but I don't quite remember the verse. But it said that one watered, one planted, but God. I think it's Matthew 5:17. Let me just turn there and check. Matthew 5:17, I think it is. 5, verse 17. Think that I... Nope, that wasn't it. That's it. God talking about... Jesus talking about the law. But he says, one came in water, one planted, one water, but God gave the increase. But God gave the increase. Man is going out there today and they're professing and proclaiming and rejoicing in their increase, in their work, in their preaching. And God is getting no glory. And God is getting no souls. But they have been blinded. And these people are going to hell as we sit here and speak today. Matthew 13 is the verse. What is it? Matthew what? I can't hear you.
13.
13 what?
3.
Matthew 13:3. It said, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he's talking about the sow, where the seeds landed. And some on good and some on bad. And he said... I'm looking for the one verse. Talking about planting and talking about one watering, and that's not what I was looking for there. And so anyway, it's Paul who quotes it anyway. So we need to get back to what the Word of God says. And the Word of God said that he's the one who gives the increase. And he set us over as watchmen. And he wants us to go out there and warn the people. And let him get these people into the churches. Get them into hearing the King James Bible. And letting God work in their heart and their minds. And I thank God that that's what happened to me and my wife. I thank God that God was able to be long-suffering. That he was merciful. That he was good. And then, you know, when God broke us, I mean, salvation came and salvation has stuck. And salvation is still here. And we have changed lives. That's the name of our website. Changed lives, one soul at a time. And that's what happened to me and my wife. And that's why we gave that name to the website, Changed Lives. Because Jesus Christ came in and changed our life. And I thank God for it. I thank God for what he's done. I thank God for his continued work. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ doing what he's doing in me and my wife's life, we would have nothing. And I'm done with that, what I have to say. I thank you guys for all those who are going to hear it on the website. May God bless you. May you get back into the Word of God, and may you do what it says and not what man says.